about false doctrine and what happens when Christians are led astray by false doctrine and by the world. And that's what this passage is about tonight. Remember last week we looked at the way of Balaam, understood what that meant, that one of the devil's tricks is to lead Christians back into the world so their testimony gets ruined and they're ineffective for Jesus Christ. And tonight is more of that teaching here in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 19. The Bible says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if, after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire." So I've entitled the message, Entangled Again. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom. Use your word in our hearts this evening. Thank you for the privilege to be here, Lord. And we again think of the so many in the flock that are ill and pray for healing. Especially think of Sarah, Lord, and pray you would heal her of this pneumonia. But Lord, meet with us now and give us your wisdom and your presence as we go to your precious word. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The servants of corruption, it says there in verse 19. That is the world. The world wants Christians brought back into corruption. And the devil is going to try to use them to lead Christians astray. You know, Christians are here to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to reach people for Jesus Christ. But the devil wants to use the world and its false promises to try to lead Christians back into the world. And isn't it amazing how many Christians that's exactly what happens? It's illustrated. We've been studying Israel a little bit on Sunday mornings. It's illustrated in there what happened with them. Every time they ran into a trial, they started saying, "Wouldn't it have been better if we were back in Egypt?" And Egypt pictures the world. "Wouldn't it be better if we went back?" Even though it was terrible, they start seeing it with, you know, rose-colored glasses, think, "Oh, it wasn't so bad." And the devil tries to use the same with Christians, to try to trick them into being entangled again, going back into the ways of the world. And the Bible says in verse 19, "For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage." How many Christians have been tricked back into the bondage of sin, which is amazing. We've been delivered through the blood of Jesus Christ, through salvation from the bondage of sin. And Christians willfully put themselves back under that bondage. It's fascinating how the devil tricks Christians in this area. Look at Romans chapter 6, if you would, where Paul talks a bit about this. Romans chapter 6, where he reminds us that our bodies have been delivered, our souls have been delivered, and that we are now to live for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Notice Romans chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." Look at verse 22, Romans 6. "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." The Bible says we're free from sin. And through Jesus Christ, we can live that freedom. But remember, the devil really only has two goals. Number one, keep people from getting saved. That's his number one goal. The Bible talks about how he blinds people's minds so that they don't understand or want to hear the gospel. His second goal is to ruin Christians' testimonies so that they're ineffective for Jesus Christ. That's really his mission summed up into two things. And we're talking about this second one tonight. He wants Christians to be entangled again in sin. It says in verse 20 of our passage, "For if after they have escaped..." So we know we're talking about Christians. "If after they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ..." When Jesus saved us, we escaped. Praise God. We escaped sin and we escaped the consequences of sin, which is to go to hell. And Jesus gave us victory. so much victory. He gave us eternal life. He made us a child of God. He forgave all of our sins. He keeps our salvation. He watches over us. He said He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's preparing a home in heaven for us. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We could go on and on. Jesus did all these things for us. We escaped. And if you would, look at 2 Peter 1. Just back one chapter, verse 4. Again, we're reminded here that we have escaped corruption. Notice it says 2 Peter 1, 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've escaped. The Bible says, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:57. God has worked a miracle in our lives if we're Christians. The devil wants us to be entangled again. So, does Jesus have the power to keep that from happening? Of course He does. But God also gave us a free will. It's up to us. And that's what it says there in verse 20 of our passage. They are again entangled therein and overcome. And we all, if we've been saved a while, we all know of Christians who no longer serve Jesus. They no longer go to church. They've gone back into the world. So that God's going to have to deal with them. You know, the Bible says that we're soldiers when we get saved. We're soldiers of Jesus Christ. It tells us in 1 Timothy 2 that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. How a soldier makes sure that he keeps everything out of the way that can keep him from being the best soldier he can be. Same for Christians. We are not to entangle ourselves in the things of the world. All they do is hinder us, slow us down, ruin our testimony, and result in God having to chastise us. All the things that we don't want, and yet all the things that so many Christians, through their behavior, are asking for from God. Look at 1 Peter 2, if you would, just back one book. Chapter 2, verse 16. It reminds us again that we are free. 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. There was a big movement 20 years ago or so, this big liberty movement. We have liberty, liberty, liberty. In other words, Christians can basically just do whatever they want. That was the argument, but it's not true. We have been given liberty from sin and the consequences of sin, but we've not been given liberty to sin. And that's where we draw the line. But the devil wants Christians to be, as it says in verse 20, entangled. Entangled. Isn't it interesting? Verse 20, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. A backslidden Christian is a miserable person. Look at Luke chapter 11 in verse 26. Jesus told a parable that says something similar. Luke chapter 11. Now, often backslidden Christians will try to put on a show that they're all happy, but the truth is they're not. They can't be. They're not right with God, their Savior, their friend. They are miserable inside. Luke 11:26, Jesus told this parable about a man who had a spirit, and he got delivered from it, and it says, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And God is saying here, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For these Christians who get re-entangled with the world and with sin, because they're asking for God's chastisement in their lives. They're saying, Lord, please chastise me. And God, being the loving Father that He is, will. That's exactly what He will do. He will chastise. Verse 21, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. This is our passage, 2 Peter 2:21. Then after they've known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. one of the shortest verses in the Bible, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. To know what that means, you have to know the story of what happened. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. The Bible says we're not to look back. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before, Philippians 3:13. Pressing toward the mark. But many Christians turn back. They turn. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to return. We'll talk about that on Saturday. To come home like the prodigal son did. Look at Hebrews 12 where the Bible tells us that many Christians, as I mentioned, are essentially asking for this worse situation that they're worse than the beginning. For Hebrews 12:28, it says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Godly fear. Say, well, fearing God is primarily respecting God, but there's an element of fear there as well. Or there should be for a Christian who turns his back, who turns away from God and says, I don't want to serve God anymore. I'd rather be re-entangled with the things of the world. There should be some fear. And sometimes it's that fear that keeps us from turning, knowing that the result is going to be God's chastisement. And sometimes that can be quite unpleasant. Hebrews 12, if you're already in 13, look at 12, where he says, verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. God will chastise his children. Why? Because he's a good father and he loves us. And if he didn't, what would that say to the world? It would say we were allowed to just go do whatever we wanted. And we're not. How many times do you hear people say that? Oh, you Christians that believe in eternal security, you just want to believe that you can just get saved and then just do whatever you want and then go to heaven. And I always say, but you can't do whatever you want. Number one, you got the Holy Spirit living in you, so you're a new person. Number two, if you do choose to disobey and continually disobey and not listen to God and try to turn and run away from Him, just like in the story of Jonah, God knows how to bring you back. And He will. He's going to work in your life and He's going to continue to speak to you. Now, the ultimate chastisement, as we know, is death for those who just refuse to listen and just keep running. But it's, as it says, it's worse to turn. And then he likens Christians who turn back, who are tangled therein, to a dog turning to his own vomit. Well, God made dogs, so he knows what they do. And anybody that's ever had a dog knows that the dogs do this. It's disgusting, isn't it? And yet, dogs do this very thing, and God is likening a Christian who turns back and gets entangled in the world to a dog eating his vomit. Wow. Or to a pig that's had a nice bath. Why would you give a pig a bath? Because what's it going to do? It's going to run right back into the mud pit and get dirty again. And he's likening a Christian. In Proverbs 26:11, that says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." So God uses His own creation to say, "Here's an object lesson. This is what you look like when you turn back. This is what you look like when you're entangled again with the things of the world. You look like a dog turning back to his own vomit. How sad." So Peter's warning all of us: be careful. Watch out for the signs. The devil trying to pull us back. The devil trying to say, it's okay. It's okay to go back in this area. It's not. Leave it behind. The Bible says all things are become new. Amen? Old things are passed away. All things are become new. We're to live a new life. We're to have new goals, new ambitions. Leave the past behind. Don't listen to the devil when he tries to pull us back, like he did with Israel and like he does with Christians all the time who are entangled again. And if you are entangled, then you know what you need to do. Repent. Repent and come back to the Lord before He brings you to your knees in other ways. So, good object lesson here in this, at the end of 2 Peter tonight. Let's pray.